Good afternoon to all you brethren, and again, I'd like to send my greetings to our special guests visiting us today. I hope each one of you had a very special and meaningful Thanksgiving just 2 days ago. Thanksgiving was just 2 days ago, and it was just 2 months ago that you and I were at the Feast of Tabernacles or just traveling to it. Let's look back to that time and like to read a verse that talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. It says in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says, "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." One of the main purposes and goals of the Feast of Tabernacles is for each one of us, for you and I, to learn to fear God. Now, I personally have been going to the Feast of Tabernacles for many, many years. Yet, until this year, it had never, even though this verse has always been in the Bible, you know, it's one of those verses that for me, it just stood out that one of the main purposes for being at the Feast of Tabernacles is to learn to fear the Lord your God always. So this year at the feast, I've delved into the subject of fear and the fear of God. And for the past 2 months, not continually, but from time to time, I've been doing a personal Bible study on the subject. I found it to be very helpful, and so today I'd like to share with you a message that I've entitled, Fear, the Fearful, and the Fear of God. I first looked up the word fearfulness in Unger's Bible Dictionary. It says, the state of being afraid, awe, dread, terror, alarm, and apprehension of evil. Under the word fearful, there are three different definitions. The first one is affected by fear, feeling pain in expectation of evil, apprehensive with solitude, and afraid. The second definition is timid, someone wanting courage. And three, the definition is terrible, impressing fear, frightful, dreadful, and awful. Are these words what God meant by learning to fear your God always? The state of being afraid, dreadful, feeling pain in expectation of evil? No, not at all. These definitions help us to define fear and fearful, but in no way address the fear of God. Let's now turn to the Bible and see what the Bible specifically says about fear and some of the qualities that fear has. Let's first turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We'll turn to the first chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 21. I probably could have given this entire split sermon just out of the book of Deuteronomy. There are numerous scriptures that talk about fear and the fear of God. But Moses writes here in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, verse 21, "Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged." Very clearly, Moses shows us that through fear, when we have fear, we can become discouraged. So one of the qualities that fear has in our lives is it causes discouragement. And we need to remember as we think about this who the great discourager in our lives is. Let's now turn to Deuteronomy 28, one of the last chapters in Deuteronomy. This is a well-known chapter. It's the chapter of blessings and cursings. And in this chapter, God first outlines the blessings that he will give to his people that follow his way, who obey him. And then the rest of the chapter talks about what will happen to those who do not choose to obey him and the curses that they will involve in their lives. I certainly will not read all of them, but I will go to just the last part of the cursings. And that comes in verses 65 through 67. Notice what it says starting in verse 65. "And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul." Verse 66, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. Verse 67, in the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at the evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. Again, this is not the fear of God, but the fear God causes to fall on those who disobey. Again, notice those qualities. Fear creates a trembling heart, it creates an anguish of soul, and it terrifies your heart. Let's now move ahead to Isaiah the prophet, because he too adds something to what we can learn about fear. Isaiah 21, we'll read verses 3 and 4. Isaiah is talking about the fall of Babylon being proclaimed. And in verse 3, he writes, therefore my loins were filled with pain. Pain has taken a hold of me like the pain of a woman in labor. And men, any of you who have seen your wife in labor, know what kind of pain that is. And those of you who have given childbirth know exactly that kind of pain. Probably a pain that you and I have never known. And it says here, I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. In verse 4, my heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. The night for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. So Isaiah very clearly shows that when we have fear in our life, that fear can cause great pain and distress. Let's look at just one more verse regarding fear and some of the qualities of fear. Let's turn to the New Testament, to 1 John 4, or read verse 18. This is a verse that we many times talk about when we're talking about having love and having perfect love, and it certainly has a lot to do with that. But it also gives us one more quality that when we live in fear, what happens to our lives. 1 John 4 and verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And notice what it says here, because fear involves torment. Yes, let me read that again. Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So again, we've read just a few verses, but very clearly shows what fear, not the fear of God, but fear in man, what it causes. Again, discouragement, trembling heart, anguish, terrifying, involves torment, and it causes pain and distress. Let's now turn the Bible and look at not fear, but the fear of God in a direct contrast that you will see has very different qualities than fear itself. Let's begin in Psalm 111 and verse 10. Again, we'll read Psalm 111 verse 10. Also, what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 9:10 says pretty much identical, the same. Psalm 111 and verse 10, a verse probably known to most of us very well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Let's move ahead couple books to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. We'll read verses 26 and 27. Again, tells us much more about the qualities of the fear of God. Solomon wrote in verses 26 and 27 of Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, or in other words, boldness, and his children will have a place of refuge. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Let's move over just five chapters to Proverbs 19, verse 23. That's Proverbs 19 and verse 23. It says there, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. We've looked here at just three verses, and there are many, many more. But notice what it talks about the qualities in regard to the fear of God. It says it's the beginning of wisdom. It leads to life. He who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will have strong confidence or boldness. He will not be visited with evil. He will have a place of refuge. And the fear of God will turn away from the snares of death. Again, very different from discouragement, anguish, torment, and pain. But let's see what God's instructions are to us regarding fear, what he tells us what we should do about fear and who we should fear. Let's turn to Luke 12 and we'll read verses 4 and 7. These are directly from the words of Jesus Christ as he talked to his disciples and the people at that time. I'm sure that if he were here today, he would say exactly the same thing to you and I. In Luke 12, verses 4 through 7, he says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. In verse 5, but I will show you who you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You," talking to each one of us, "are of more value than many sparrows." Very clearly, we are not to fear man, we are not to fear what happens in this life, but we are to fear God only. Let's turn back to Exodus 14. This was God's instructions to the Israelites through the words of Moses. And this was at the time that the Israelites stood at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. In verse 13 of Exodus 14, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who of you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." In verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." God tells you and I the very same thing. Fear not, I will fight for you. Isaiah adds more to the story. Let's turn over to Isaiah 35, verse 4. Again, this is a prophecy talking about the future glory of Zion. And Isaiah the prophet writes in verse 4, "Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." And let's go over a few more chapters to Isaiah 51, verse 7. Isaiah 51 and verse 7, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults." So Isaiah knew that his people, God's people, would have the reproach of men. There would be insults, but he tells us, do not fear. Over and over again, through the many verses, we're told not to fear. But you know what? It's up to us. Each one of us has a choice. we will either have the fear of God in our lives or we'll have the fear. This is brought out very clearly in Deuteronomy 20. If you'll turn there to Deuteronomy 20, we'll read verses 3 and 4, and we'll also read verse 8. This is at a time when Israel, the nation of Israel, is about to go out to war against the nations around them. And Moses writes to them, and he shall say unto them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of a battle with your enemies. Brethren, to you and I have our own enemies." Who are our enemies? Think about the enemies that we face today. Israel had physical battles. You and I today have physical battles. And more importantly, we have spiritual battles. But notice what was told to them. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Very encouraging words, very direct. Don't be afraid. But notice what happens just a few verses later, because it's not the end of the story. In verse 8, as they're about ready to go out to the battle, the officers say the following. The officer shall speak further to the people and say, "What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart." So again, God told the people not to be afraid, but gave them the opportunity, those who were afraid, those who were fearful, not to go into battle, but to return into their house. Again, there's another account very similar to this. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Judges 7 and verse 3, the choice is made clear once again. It says, "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And 22,000 of the people returned, and only 10,000 remained. Again, God said, if you're afraid and fearful, I do not need you in my army. And 22,000 people, more than two-thirds, turned and ran away. Brethren, every day you and I have a choice, to fear God or to be fearful of man. God very clearly allowed his people to be fearful if they chose to. And he allows you and I to do the very same thing, to fear him or to fear man. However, there is an ultimate consequence for being fearful. Let's turn to the end of our Bibles, to Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation 21, we'll read verse 8. Chapter 21, it talks about a new heaven and new earth. But notice what it says in verse 8. I'll be reading from the King James Version. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire. This is the second death." Did you hear that, brethren? Those who are fearful and unbelieving are put in with murderers and whoremongers and idolaters, and they're cast into the lake of fire. Let that not be any one of us. The New Life Version brings it even more clearly. It says in verse 8 of the New Life Version, "But those who are afraid and those who do not have faith, and the sinful-minded people, and those who kill other people, and those who do sex sins, and those who follow witchcraft, and those who worship false gods, and all those who tell lies, will be put into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Clearly, being fearful is not a godly attribute. And here in Revelation, it's revealed that those who continue to live a life of fear and fearfulness eventually are cast into the lake of fire. When I see things in the Bible that says, do not do this, the thing that I want to do is go as far as I can to the other side. And for me, the absolute opposite of fear is boldness. And God very clearly in His Bible tells us that through His Spirit, we can have boldness. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In Hebrews 13, we'll read verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What man can do to me? Peter and John knew this very well. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Acts 4 and verse 19, it says that Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul writes to Timothy. He says here in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And notice what it says in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We've discussed the differences between fear and the fear of God, and we've clearly outlined that God does not want us to live our daily lives in fear, but instead He would want us to follow Him in His ways boldly. But what is the fear of God? We've talked about what qualities we have from the fear of God, but what exactly is it? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, as you know, is written by Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth. He had great possessions, yet in the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote over and over that everything in life pretty much is vanity. And he wrote in the conclusion of his book the following in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fearing God is keeping His commandments. That's nothing new. That's nothing that you don't already know. It's a simple statement. Yet it's a meaningful one. It's a one that should drive our lives, our every decision. Over and over again, the Bible says, fear me and keep all my commandments. In Deuteronomy 5:29, it says, oh, that they would have such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Deuteronomy 8, verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways and to fear Him. It says the same thing in Deuteronomy 6, 2, Deuteronomy 10, 12, and Deuteronomy 13, 4. I could go on and on. So many times when it says, fear God, the same phrase, keep my commandments. That's what it's all about. If we fear God on a daily basis, we are following His commandments. God makes some incredible promises to those who fear Him. In Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14, it says, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall I teach in the way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. In a hymn that we sing frequently, Psalms 128, verses 1 through 3, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around you. Again, God makes other promises in Isaiah 41, verses 11 through 13, and Jeremiah 32, verses 39 and 41. Again, we have a choice. We can fear God or we can fear man. Unfortunately, when we fear man, our life tends to be a life of bondage. Let's see what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, verses 14 and 15, Paul writes, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And notice what he says in verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." When we live in fear, when our lives are filled with fear and worries, we're much in bondage like the slaves of Israel were. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. He wants us to be worried. He wants us to be afraid. What does he want us to be afraid of? It doesn't matter to him. I've said before, Satan doesn't care how he destroys us. He just wants to destroy us. And when it comes to fear, he doesn't care what we fear. He doesn't care if we fear death, finances, our relationships with others, fear our jobs, our health. It doesn't matter. He simply wants us to be focused on these, to be in fear, so that our eyes and our attention can be taken away from God. As I move towards conclusion, let's go to Isaiah 57, verses 11 through 13. Because God here clearly demonstrates what happens to those who choose not to fear him. And again, these are verses that I've read before, but in the context of this message, these words had a lot of meaning to me, and maybe they'll have a lot of meaning to you. In Isaiah 57, verse 11, it says, "Of whom have you been afraid or feared?" What about you and I? Of who have we been afraid or feared? And it continues there, "that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart. Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you have not feared me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you." In verse 13, "When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them away, a breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." What about you? What about me? Do we sometimes not fear God as we should? Because he's merciful and kind to us? Because it says here, "because I have held my peace of old, that you do not fear me." Yes, God is forgiving, he is merciful. But if we let that get in the way of fearing him properly, this, in the end, will be a tragic mistake. David wrote many meaningful psalms. Many of the Psalms talk about fear. But in conclusion, I'd like to share just one of them with you. If you turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. David writes in verse 1, "The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Verse 3, "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may arise against me. In this I will be confident." Notice the boldness that David had. You and I can have that same boldness. We too can say, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This is the attitude we need to have, so that it can be written of us as it is written in Malachi 3:16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name." So what is the conclusion of the whole matter? If you and I, on a daily basis, in our decisions, are keeping God's commandments, then we are fearing God. And we have nothing, absolutely nothing, to fear. It is only when we stray from that, when we don't keep his commandments, that those things, whether they're known or whether they're in secret, those are the things that cause us fear in our lives. Let us each day strive to be more perfectly keeping God's commandments, fearing Him, that we can have absolute confidence and trust in Him.